Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is the gospel lesson, the John's disciples visiting with Jesus. Well, Sven and Lena were having breakfast, and Lena mentioned to Sven, I had a dream last night, and in this dream you gave me a pearl necklace. What do you suppose that means? And Sven thought for a moment, and then he replied, well, you'll find out tonight. And Lena smiled, and so the rest of the day she was rather excited, thinking about what Sven had said, that you'll find out tonight. So dinner came, and Sven had a package for her, so she was even more excited. And so she takes the packages, and she opens it up, and she looks, and it's a book entitled Interpreting Dreams. It's not exactly what Lena expected, and she's a little bit disappointed. Well, today in the gospel lesson, we see John disappointed. And disappointed most likely because things have not gone the way that he expected. He sends disciples, his own disciples, to Jesus to ask if he is the one or should they wait for another. And we hear this, aren't we a little bit surprised that John the Baptist would do this? Surprised that he would have doubts and questions about Jesus? Why would he doubt our Lord? Well, that's what we're going to examine. We're going to examine why it could be that John could have doubts and questions. And as we think about that, we'll question ourselves. Why is it that at times we might have doubts and questions? But even more important for us this morning is how does Jesus address that? How does he address the doubts for John? Because in seeing that, we see how our Lord addresses our doubts and questions. Again, so we go back to the text, and Luke tells us, the disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? As I said in the introduction, isn't that shocking that John the Baptist would be questioning, are you the one? John is a relative of Jesus. John baptized Jesus. John pointed to Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the Lord, sin of the world. He was sent by God, had direct revelation of who Jesus was as a prophet. And now he sends a question? The only thing that makes sense is that now he's in prison. This couldn't have been what he expected. John had faithfully preached and proclaimed the word of God, and what was his reward? Arrest and imprisonment. He had to be questioning everything, wasn't he? And so as we look at John, can we not think about our own doubt? Because who amongst us haven't had doubts or questions? We may not doubt that Jesus is the Messiah, but we certainly may doubt at times his love for us or his actions on our behalf. And yet, if we consider it from the outside, in one sense, it doesn't make any sense. You know that Jesus died for you. He's risen for you. You know that in your baptism, Jesus claimed you as his own, united himself to you. He has given you his word and his scriptures to rely upon and to turn to. And yet, you would still doubt? And we do. We do because things are not going for us always the way that we would have expected. We've tried to do the right thing, and it hasn't always turned out well. And so there are reasons in our own mind to question and to doubt. But as we consider this, and we think about John, and as we read through the text, that there's more going on here than the fact that John is simply in prison. Luke is very specific about this questioning. He tells us that it's when John had received the report of what Jesus was doing that John then sends the messengers to Jesus. That isn't so much about his expectations for himself. It's really about his expectations for Jesus doing. And it makes sense if we take a step back and we compare what John proclaimed about Jesus and the report then that John received about Jesus. So if we go back to last week's gospel lesson, you may remember that we heard John say, even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then later in Luke chapter 3, we hear John saying, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. There's certainly a theme, is there not? Is John not speaking about the coming Messiah as one who brings judgment, one who brings a reckoning, who is saying that people are going to pay and give an account for their sin? Is that not kind of the theme that you hear as you hear John's proclamation? And yet, what's the report that John receives while he's in prison? If we look at this, the events that took place just prior to today's gospel lesson, we see that he healed the centurion's servant. He stopped the funeral procession and called to life the widow's son who was about to be buried. And we also have a record of his teachings. Just prior to our text today, in the chapter previous to it, we have Luke recording Jesus' Beatitudes. Jesus saying, "Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who mourn." And even more, "Blessed are those who are persecuted." Is that a picture of judgment? A picture of reckoning? Does that really fit with what John had been proclaiming? Here we see in reality a picture of our Lord's grace. A picture of one who is bringing comfort. You see, John doesn't hear Jesus doing what he said he would do. Is there any wonder that John begins to question if this Jesus is the one he had proclaimed and preached about? He had to wonder. And isn't this also where we struggle? It isn't just that things don't go the way that we expect, but doubts arise when God doesn't respond in the way that we would have anticipated, the way that we had hoped, the way that we think is right. Questions arise when he allows evil to succeed, and not only succeed, but seemingly allows it to flourish. When he doesn't remove the difficulties that we face, or he doesn't act in the way that we hope for. When he doesn't intervene in a way that we desire to stop wickedness and to stop evil and to stop all the rest, it's natural that questions would come up in our mind. But that's why we need to look to John. What's really striking about our text today is John knows what to do when the doubts arise. When the doubts arise, he sends his disciples to whom? He sends them to the Lord. Because it's the Lord that's going to have an answer. And the Lord does have an answer. When John the Baptist's disciples come to him and ask if he is the one, Jesus tells them to take a report back to John. He says, "Say to him that the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them." Jesus, in a not so subtle way, is telling them to go back to John, and with this report, tell them to go back to the scriptures to see what it is that the Messiah was ultimately coming to do. To look for those things not only of judgment, but also of grace. That he is to look to the scriptures to find out what his true expectations of the ministry in the mission of the Messiah are to be. You see, the key is that last phrase, "The poor have good news preached to them." Reminds us that this whole report that Jesus sends back to John is couched in biblical language. He's drawing upon phrases that are found throughout the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. He's saying these are things that the scripture said would take place. Recognize that this also is the mission of the Messiah. That he is coming to bring grace as well as judgment. He's coming to bring grace to the downtrodden, the broken, the hurting. And the irony of this is that John had beautifully prepared the way for this. Because John's proclamation was of a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That those who heard John's preaching, who were cut to the heart, were downtrodden, beaten, and ready to hear the grace that Jesus was coming to bring. The very ones John reached to and heard are the ones Jesus brings healing and good news. Those who are broken over their sins are healed. John wasn't wrong. Jesus did come to bring judgment. And we see that also in his ministry, as he speaks harshly to the Pharisees and others who would reject him. But the other part of that judgment he came to bring, the wrath that John speaks about, was not only going to be poured out on those who reject him, but those were going to be poured out upon Christ himself. This wrath that we deserve for our sinfulness, Christ was going to take on his shoulders. The outpouring of wrath because of rebellion was going to be poured out on Christ so that we would be spared. And this is why Jesus could bring a message of healing and of good news. This is why he could restore sight to the blind and healing to the sick. That he has come to overcome sin, and through his resurrection shows that he has the power over sin and over death, over sickness, over illness, all that sin brings. And so he tells John, go back to the scriptures. Let the word of God shape your expectations. And isn't that the message we need to hear? When our doubts arise, when our questions pop into our mind, where do we turn? We turn to his word. We turn to his word so that we might have our expectations shaped by the word of God, not by our own desires or our own thoughts or by the culture around us, but our expectations of Christ and his work in our lives is shaped by God's word. And we do this, we realize that God's promises are not that we're going to be spared from the difficulties of the sinful world, but that he's going to be with us in the midst of it. Isn't that what Advent leading up to Christmas is all about? The God who through whom all things is created is going to be in the midst of the difficulties with his people? Isn't the promise that we are to be reminded of is that in the midst of these things, the glory and the love of God will be seen, even in the difficult times? Isn't the promise of God that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that you will rejoice with him over the glad things that happen in your life? And you'll find comfort and strength in him in the difficult times? Does he not bring us the promise that he will bring good, but not just any good? It's the good that he intends, the good of salvation, the salvation of your soul, that he brings good out of every situation. He draws you closer to him no matter what is going on in your life. These are the things, these words are to shape our expectations. And in them we find comfort, we find strength, and we find peace. As we look at today's text, we see John as a powerful example for us. In one sense, we find comfort, right? When we question and wonder, we realize that, well, if John can, it's not surprising that we would, right? That's part of being a sinner and a saint at the same time, a sinful creature living in this world, that there are going to be times in which we doubt and wonder. But the greater example is what to do with that. Where do we turn when we have questions? We do what John did. We turn to the scriptures. We turn to the Lord. And in him we find an answer. We find an answer of the Lord's great love for us, for you and for me. In him we have confidence in his love, his salvation, his strength, and his peace, that these things are ours now and forever. He is the one who can respond and help us forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, life everlasting. Amen.